Good morning, everyone. Good to see you today. Thank you for being here. Welcome to week three in the Easter season, where we celebrate with great joy because love did not die and it cannot die. This love of God is always with us. So thanks be to God for that. And thanks be to God for your presence here, no matter if you are here in person or watching online via Facebook Live or on Zoom. We're so glad that you're here. If you're on Facebook, check in, greet each other, let us know that you're here. If you are watching here in the auditorium, you are welcome to jump on Facebook too, see who's checking in, and send your greetings to them as well. Well, who's helping me today? We have Brent leading us in a few songs. Cora is going to come light our candle in a moment. Chuck Edmonds will read our text for today. Chelsea will send us out in benediction. And we will share in communion. We'll break bread together and share from the cup. So if you are watching at home, now's a great time to grab those supplies, please. If you are in here, we will share those with each other a little bit later in our service. And we'll have an offering following that. Okay, we light a Christ candle to remember that Christ is among us. Even as we are together in such a small way here and an expanded way online, Christ meets us right where we are. So Cora's going to come light our Christ candle, and I will get back up and read our psalm for the morning. Our psalm today comes from Psalm 4. I would like to invite you to stand as I read, and then let's remain standing for the songs that follow as Brent comes and leads us. Psalm 4. Answer me when I call to you, O God, who declares me innocent. Free me from my troubles. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will people ruin my reputation? How long will you make groundless accusations? How long will you continue your lies? You can be sure of this. The Lord set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will answer when I call to him. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Offer sacrifices in the right spirit and trust in the Lord. Many people say, who will show us better times? Let your face smile upon us, O Lord. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. Let's sing together.
The love of God is greater far than far nor can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win his erring child, he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole outstretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Be seated. Okay, we have a couple of Roots friends in our auditorium today, and this time is for you. If you are in the auditorium or watching online, hopefully you have your Leaves Bulletin. The psalm that I read earlier on the back, it talks about the text that we're going to talk about today coming from 1 John chapter 3. So there are a couple of activities on there for you, and that is for you. Chelsea, I'm going to leave this here. Chuck is going to come and read our text for today, John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. If you want to open your Bibles, no matter if you're here or at home, and follow along that way, it will also be up on the screen.
See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help. Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in the truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. For just as he has commanded us, all who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us.
Thanks, Chuck. Let's pray together. O God, who loves us with an everlasting love, we give you thanks today. Pour through me now the gift of preaching. Open our hearts, open our hands. It's because of Christ we do all things. Amen. How inadequate we are to describe the great love God has for us. How deficient in language we are to depict God's love. How lacking in imagination. How incomplete our thesaurus. Preachers who pontificate their way through sermons to try to illustrate such heavenly love still come up wanting. Translating Greek, quoting Webster's, outlining God's love in bulletin points, you still feel like something is missing. Songwriters give it a good shot as well. Some modern-day worship music with their short verses and repetitious chorus lines hold a special place for me, but it's the older lyrics, like from hymnist Frederick Lehman, who wrote one of the songs that we sang this morning, that often settles deeper within me. Lehman wrote this in verse 3. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. How good is that? Beautiful, though, as it is, speaking of God's love like that, you know deep within you that there is more to be had. Poets then may come even closer to communicating God's big yet intimate love. Gifted as poets are, their carefully placed expressions stick upon our chests, which become like an electric shock to get the longing heart beating again. When poets behold an object before us, a pair of old glasses, a passing train, or white-capped ocean waves, and say, this is what God's love is like. Somehow, the love of God then becomes concrete and real. We can see it right there in front of us. But even then, clear-eyed and cataract-free sight is not guaranteed to last, since spoken words come and go, rolling off the tongue and becoming nothing more than a momentary sound that we once heard, and then it's gone and we forget. stories and storytellers perhaps have the best chance, since stories are told and remembered and passed down and written on. The power of narrative can do that. If you tell me how you wept tears of joy after your baby was born, or how your soul expanded tenfold as you watched your child sleep, the one who somehow became 9 years old overnight, if you relate those to God's love, then yeah, I will get that. Or if I tell you stories of my grandparents who have already died, how when they were alive but not far from death, I would sit as close as humanly possible to them and let my hand be grasped by their hand. Or I would brush my foot against their foot underneath the table just to touch them as long as I still could. And if I relate that to God's love, then yeah, you'll get that. The author of 1 John gives it a go to, using the most expressive vocabulary he's got at his disposal. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The love God has for us has been lavished upon us, John says, showered upon us, bestowed upon us, covered upon us. Love and more love, unending and uncontainable. What marvelous love the Father has for us. John says, what God's love does is fold us into God's household. It's God's love that makes us God's children. Our rightness does not make us children. Our spirituality does not make us children. Our ability to win arguments does not make us children. Our wits, our education, our strength does not make us children. Our gender or sexuality or where we were born does not make us children. Our privilege, white or otherwise, does not make us God's children. God's love cannot be earned or bought or traded for. God's love is given, and it's given freely to a world that at large does not know, does not understand how it works, because they don't know God. God's great love makes us children. There is no other way. We cannot adopt ourselves. We are grafted into the family tree, a permanent and precious spot that cannot be erased or lessened by divorce or understated in its significance or worth. Certainly, I don't have to remind you that we don't always look like God's children. What with half-hearted intentions and half-finished projects and half-baked ideas of what church should be. Even so, God's love has staked a claim on us. A claim that overrides whatever brokenness has wounded your heart. Whatever sin or sin of the world has told you otherwise. What we know, fellow beloved ones, is this. We are God's children right now. What we will be has not yet fully been revealed, but what we do know is this. When Christ is revealed, when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him just as he is. And it's not just for you individually. Please don't think that it is. On God's family tree, slide your finger over the names that are nothing more than a word now, etched upon a gravestone. Trace there the lineage of God's love down through the ages, millennia of women and men, moms and dads, aunts and uncles, quirky cousins and questionable saints, long lives and lives cut short, strangers of the faith and aliens in the world. The vast majority of them you did not know, but some you did. And you are better for it, aren't you? Because they told you what someone else told them. Child, you are loved by God. Can you right now picture one such person in your mind? Nod your head if you can. Say a quick prayer of thanks for them. They could be alive or alive no longer. Who told you that you were loved by God? Somehow, friends, in some way, by some grace, the truth has reached us, has reached you, you beloved child of God. You want to know what love is? What preachers and songwriters and poets and storytellers try their hardest to describe? What we try to say with words God has articulated with a person in living color, the word become flesh. Here is what love is: that Jesus the Christ laid down his life for us. Jesus, the Word, gave up his life willingly out of deep, abiding love for the world. His death flipped the script on what it means to live in God's economy, in the kingdom of heaven. His actions demonstrate to us what God is like. In this exact same way, John says, we also ought to love one another by laying our lives down. What does that mean, to lay our lives down? That's a phrase. Does it mean a service to God unto death? For the person who follows Jesus, such a service could mean death. If you label Herod and kings like him a fox, if you accuse predominant religious leaders of hypocritical behavior, if you call out racism for what it is, if you work for peace in Jesus' name in locales of violence, then yes, laying down your life could mean death. But not typically. It does mean that God's love is revealed to others through us in tangible actions that echo Jesus' own life. Christ's lifeblood pulses through our hands and our feet. To lay down our lives means to live sacrificially, to put others first and you go last, to live for the good of the least of these, to remember the widow and the orphan and the children at the border. A few weeks ago, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who had a neighbor who only had one pair of shoes in her closet. My friend, with only a few pairs of her own, started asking around to her neighbors and friends for some shoes, and she came up with 9 pairs of shoes to give to this one who had only one. Last year, one of you told me that you had a chunk of money to give away whenever I heard of someone who needed assistance with medical bills. A few months later, a woman in our neighborhood experienced excruciating stomach pains, and that money paid for her tests and her treatment. That is preemptively laying down your life. John gives his own example. To lay down your life means that if you have a full house and a full wallet and see a sister or brother in need, you show compassion to them. What you choose to give and how you choose to do it is between you and God. But John throws in the zinger If you see them yet show no compassion, then how can the love of God be in you? Ouch. That's a question that will keep you up at night. But it doesn't have to. Though everything within you might protest otherwise, Jesus shows you that laying down your life can indeed outweigh your tendency to live for yourself the way the rest of the world does. If you say that Jesus is the way, then you can, in view of God's mercy and love, offer yourself as a living sacrifice to holy and pleasing to God, just like Jesus did. This is how we worship. As you live in the truth and action of God, whatever debilitating self-criticism you may have toward yourself, whatever I'm not good enoughs, or whatever cynicisms you carry because of burned bridges, John says that God is greater than your worried hearts. You can let those go. God knows everything about you. Once you are no longer accusing others or condemning yourself, you become bold and free before God. You can live generously rather than from a mindset of scarcity. You are able to stretch out your hands and receive what God is already giving for the restoration of the world, his Son, Jesus the Christ, who is making all things well. That includes us, my friends. Trusting that the way Jesus saves us is the way that he makes us like himself. Today's sermon is not a guilt trip to get you to fill up the church bank account or to shame you into giving away stuff that you don't really need. It is, though, a reflection of the heart. It's how we live by faith. It's how the everyday life of Jesus is formed in us, made possible because and only because the Spirit of God. If you haven't given money to the work of this congregation in a while, it's probably time. If you have never collected shoes or preemptively offered to care for a specific hardship, you might want to do that. If you regularly pass by sisters and brothers in need without a thought other than what an inconvenience they are, maybe it's time to pray for a new pair of eyes. If doing such things are surprisingly painful, that is okay. It means you're on the right track because you're thinking about such things. It means that God is at work within you, agitating and disrupting and Eastering you in order to love you to life. All of this, of course, is stuff that we already know. Jesus himself has already told us, love God with everything you've got and love your neighbors in the same way. 1 John says it this way. This is God's command, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as Christ has commanded us. Let's do the same. Let's do likewise. And together, friends, we say or we type, amen. Let's stand as we sing together.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. A Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Thank you. Let's be seated.
The one who conquered the grave meets us here at the table. The bread, his body, the blood, his cup, that we get to share and we get to participate in together, the life of Jesus still pulsing among us in our hands and our feet. So let's take some time and share this communion together. In a moment, Larry's going to come and help me share the bread and the cup. Larry will take this side. I'll take this side with the bread and the cup that we have up here. If you're at home watching, now's a great time to eat and drink. And remember that Christ is with you, and you are also with us. Let's pray together, and then Larry and I will share the bread and the cup with you. You indeed conquered the grave, O God, for our life, for the salvation of the world, which you continue to love and to rescue because of the works of Jesus. Thank you for the body which is represented here in the bread, and your blood which we see in the cup, both broken and poured out for us, both of these. We give you thanks in the name of Christ who loves. Amen.
Strong.
Okay, you see Glenn moving this way. He's going to... pass around the offering plate. If you have a gift that that you want to offer, you can just wave Glenn down, and you can give it that way. Let me pray, and then we'll go on. Also, if you are at home, you can continue to give online or bring to the church building. Whatever you decide to do is good, and we're grateful for that. Let's pray, and then we'll give. Thanks for the hearts of these people, oh God, the people who give generously, not only with funds, but also their time, their work, their efforts, that sometimes we see and most often we don't. And so we pray by your Spirit that you would bless the work of their hands for your name and for your sake. As always, may your kingdom come and your will be done. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, just one family matter I want to share with you. Actually, two. I want to share two with you. The Wednesday night bags, the ones that we share with our neighbors every Wednesday, continues to happen. We have a couple folks who come up every single week and bag these gifts that someone has purchased a bunch of food and supplies from Sam's. And then a couple of us on Wednesdays get to go deliver those. And that, for me, is one of the greatest joys right now in my life. And so I'm thankful for that work, for the opportunity, for those of you who work behind the scenes to help make that happen. So those of you who have not heard recently, that work is still going on, and it is still very good. And who knows what God may do with that in the future. One other announcement I want to share with you, and then Chelsea will come up and send us out with a benediction. For about, 2 years now, I think, we've been working on trying to get the electrical system in the back upgraded and changed out, and generally make this just a safer place to meet. And that has been a chore in among itself to get that taken care of, and the pandemic did not help whatsoever in slowing everything's down, and work orders and supplies and whatnot. But I think we are finally close to the end of getting this taken care of. On May 2nd, actually a couple days before May 2nd, I think April 30th, CenterPoint is coming out here to install some brand new poles for us. And then it's going to take a couple of days for everything to be hooked back up together so that we can have electricity and AC and all the things in this building that we appreciate and enjoy. All that to say, there's a chance on Sunday, May 2nd, that we will not be able to meet here in person. We'll do everything online that day if we don't have power reconnected at that time. Does that make sense? Hopefully we do, but we can let you know sometime on that Saturday if we're going to have it on Sunday or not. Those of you who do not watch online or have no way to participate, you can still come up to the building. I plan, if there's no power, to set things up in the lobby, preach on my cell phone, as I am so accustomed to doing, and you can sit in there with me. That would be just fine. But for the rest of you, we'll just remain online for that day, and hopefully everything is taken care of. We'll keep you updated the longer we go along with that, and hopefully it doesn't take too much longer. All right. Thank you again, friends, for being here, and thank you, friends, who are watching on Zoom or Facebook. We appreciate your presence very much. Let's stand as Chelsea comes and sends us out with a word.
Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because he keeps his commandments, and because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. I believe that sermons appeal to us in three different ways, oftentimes. One, through the mind, to help us learn and grow. one through the heart to help us love, and one through the physical body to go out and do. I think this morning we've been called to go out and do, whether that is through giving, loving others, physically expressing and being the hands and feet of God. And so I implore you, whether you are sitting in here physically with us or online, may you move into doing today and this week to physically love others as God has called us to do. Go in peace.